You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hello?
Hello?
This thing on?
People have been saying that for years. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.
Is this an audience or oil painting?
It's already a spicy Thursday. Hanging out with you and Matthew D. Neely Esquire. Hitting that S hard today. Hitting that S. It's Friday Eve, as they like to say. And what's the other line I was going to use here? We only break the news, we don't fix it. Is that the Mike Shaw line again? I keep forgetting again. It'll come back to me before it's over. Welcome back, everybody. We got two congresspeople and a boys chorus today. One of the things we'll be talking about with both Andy and...
Some people would say Congress is the Greek chorus.
That's not bad. Huh? I like that. It's definitely a Greek tragedy. We can say that. So one of the things we're going to be talking about is the head of the Freedom Caucus, Mr. Perry, came out and said that they're going to kind of back off the limit on the budget that they're not going to go back to that 2018-2019 number. What they're going to do is they're going to go to the number that Kevin McCarthy negotiated in May that he was a bastard for doing. Again, I'm not saying I'm a Kevin McCarthy lover. I'm just saying that's what they're going back to. So we went through a lot of drama, and we seem to be...
Sturm and Drang.
Yeah, thank you. And we seem to have kind of be back to where we were with Kevin McCarthy as the speaker. So be interesting to get both perspectives of both David and Andy. And then the Julian will be here, Tucson Boys Chorus. Matt has a truckload. And I think we should give him out over multiple days, probably, because I think he got a lot there, right? So we got to figure out if we're doing... He got 10, okay. So we'll probably give those out as pairs. Probably pairs. I think we do that as pairs. So we're going to be giving out... Matt, I know it's on the ticket. What's the day of this thing? I keep forgetting. 16th?
Saturday, December 16th.
Look at me.
University of Arizona, Crowder Hall, 3 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. shows.
Crowded Hall?
That's Crowder.
No, I'm just kidding.
Crowder.
Okay. All right. Well, we got 10 tickets that we're going to give away in pairs. So let's see. Let's do math. That's 5 pairs. Look at me.
Look at you.
Me impressing.
Without a abacus.
That's coming, buddy. Don't you worry. What else do we got here today? We got... All right. Trump is honored to have the Black Lives Matters leader's endorsement.
I'm just making sure my earphones were working right. What did you say?
I did.
Okay.
I did say it. The University of Arizona's $250 million shortfall is now made national news. So we're going to have to send more glossy brochures out, as we like to say. We're going to play...
Under Club.
We're going to play you Rockin' Robins in front of the Faculty Senate. And you guys can tell me how you feel about it. Tell me if you're feeling the tidal wave of confidence. And then hopefully I'm going to get Stegman. I called up Stegman yesterday because he's like on the executive board of the Faculty Senate. You actually see him in the video a couple of times. So see if we can get Mark to chime in on such things. We'll get to Elon Musk's three-word response to advertisers that would boycott Twitter because they want him to censor certain things. So we'll talk about that. Ann Coulter does a nice piece about the book by Melissa DeRosa, the secretary to former Governor Andy Cuomo of New York. And the title of her piece is How We Killed New York. So we'll get to that. DeSantis is announcing a plan to create term limits for the U.S. Congress. So we got... How does that not play out in the middle Would you like to not see Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell for 30 years? Yes. Yes. Three people accused of retail theft over $50,000 in merchandise in Maricopa County. And inquiring minds, Matt, want to know?
What's Pima County doing about this? Same problem.
Whoa, absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
That's where we're at. So.
Maricopa County attorney and law enforcement are taking a proactive role in dealing with organized retail theft.
You are correct. Low morale, increased encounters for Border Patrol agents, KGUN9. Neighbors are seeing more homeless fentanyl freaks leaving trash near their house in the foothills. And
rubber's going to hit the road now. Or the rubber meets the road, yep.
You are correct. So we don't want to... Will Rex Scott...
There you go.
Rex Scott and the... Will we call... Was he... Rex helped responsible for the Fenty foothills.
Now, how do you feel about your property taxes being reduced and going up?
The Fent Hills, as they call it now. You know... Cantone thought he had it rough just picking up foothills, people throwing
right.
garbage.
No, he's like, I'm not walking and picking up garbage anymore.
So Craig and I were emailing back and forth with me, him, and wow, we're all. And he was talking, this is the best. He said, because he picks up garbage along, you know, where Craycroft goes into the foothills and comes around. And
used to be airplane bottles of Tito's and... You know,
so he said someone had it was their package. There was no chicken in it, but it was their package of organic chicken breast or chicken thighs from Whole Foods. And he goes, I can't believe they're paying $9 a pound for this or whatever he said. It's like, yeah.
Look at the cost of chicken.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. So let's before we go to break, so much good response off of our third hour discussion with our veteran friends Ken and Donna Cousineau in the third hour. Matt, thank you for sending that MP3 out. Love it. Gloria, our little wallflower, was up at, I think, the Charo Chico place, and she said, at lunch today, and Grace, a woman who listens to the program, stopped me and said she was moved to tears by their wonderful stories. Thanks again for your wonderful thanks again for your service. So I thought that was nice. What was the other thing? There was one more from here we go. Hi Chris. This is from Anne. Great show today. I especially enjoyed hearing Ken and Donna share their recent honor flight experience. I was unaware of the November 13th arrival until I saw the coverage on the news that night. Had I known earlier, a few members and I would have been there to greet the veterans. In the future, would it be possible for you to let the Wakeys know when the flight's returning? Now, we have done it in the past. We can, you know, be a little more obvious about it. And then she said that the Honor Flight website and Twitter page are definitely not up to date. So, but anyway, thanks for all that you do for the community and longtime listener.
But the nice thing about going to honorflightsaz.org is that not only can you help out with the donation, you can nominate a veteran in your life,
yep,
or you can volunteer. So you go there, you learn about it, and you can get involved in a way that's right for you.
Amen. Amen. Today's playlist today is, I got focused on the word dream. So I said, let's do songs that have the word dream in the title. So no nightmares today. We could possibly do a nightmare one, but we're not going to. It's positive Thursday, as Tia Gloria was said. So we're just doing some songs about with the word dream in it. You can text us and email us and let us know if you got one. But we've covered a lot here. There's 18 of them. So, but you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, it's a dreamy Thursday. Hey Matt, I have a new cue for you on that first on that video. 2010.
Gotcha.
Thank you, sir. The video we're going to, well, Matt and I will watch. You're going to listen to it. It'll be just fine. It's Dr. Robbins talking to the Faculty Senate of the University of Arizona. This meeting happened before Thanksgiving. We've heard it's mildly spicy. But we're going to start with this one professor. There's multiple professors that kind of give Rockin' Robins a little piece of their mind, but we're going to start off with this one professor. We might hear her name, but we'll figure it out. And then we'll switch over to Dr. Robin's explanation of where's the quarter bill and how it did it happen. And then the other thing too, one of our listeners, Greg, sent us and a couple other people. It's the University of Arizona's, where is this thing? This is amazing. It's the new minor emancipatory education graduate minor. Wait till I read that one to you. It's hot, baby. It's hot. Getting them ready for the future. And I can't believe Raytheon went to Tempe to open up a new spot because they can't find anyone down here to make a bomb. Sorry, greeting card. Missile. All right, let's... I forgot. I think we'll hear her name as she gets introduced by one of the faculty senators, but this is one of the professors on Zoom. In this, a lot of them are live, but she's participating via Zoom, giving her take on the whole Robbins kerfuffle.
Zider,
I think she said, Professor Zider.
Thank you. Can you all hear me okay in there?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Speak.
Just a note, closed captioning was requested by folks attendance, and I know that the staff is working on this. And also, it's very hard to hear folks at the speaker. So microphone very close would help us all on Zoom and accessibility.
Go to the meeting next time.
I'm Katie Ziders, faculty senator from Kales. In September, I spoke about the financial position of Kales under the new AIB model, that we had done everything right, and we faced a $10 million deficit. This is because our university's central administration had decided to take the money of my colleagues and I worked so incredibly hard to generate to use for its so-called strategic investments as they see fit to spend. Now, 2 months later, CFO Lisa Rolney's report to ABOR clearly indicates how our university's senior leadership team has so badly drained our central reserves of cash on hand with loans to athletics and other strategic initiatives, mismanaging our university's finances. To understand this financial management, look no further than the metric by which the university is using as an indicator of the crisis, days of cash on hand. As presented to ABOR, we are currently at 97 days, and a significant plummet to this number started with the hiring of both President Robins and CFO Lisa Rolney in 2017 and 18, respectively. In 2017, we had 182 days of cash on hand, and we've seen a linear decline in this number year after year, except for the years after the university took $30 million from employees with furloughs and received $73 million in higher education emergency relief funds. What is astonishing about this plummet in cash on hand is that in the last 3 years in particular, we've seen the steepest drop. Yet the university, not just Kales, has had record years of success. You and I and all of our colleagues have grown enrollment to record numbers. We've increased our research dollars to record amounts. In fact, as President Robins points out, we generated $79.4 million net surplus for the university this past year. The regents have called for across-the-board actions that ignore the failures of administration and instead punish the employees who are committed to our land-grant institution and serving our students. Fellow senators, faculty, directors, unit heads, staff, deans, and students, I urge us all to begin to ask the tough questions and commit to standing with one another to ensure that no programs in your college are eliminated, no salaries are cut, and there's no one loses their jobs. We must make it very clear to our colleges, to our workers, to our students, that we will not be punished for the administration's complete mismanagement of our university finances. Thank you.
All right, let's get to Dr. Robins now. There's lots of professors, but hers was the clearest audio that kind of explained. It's interesting, she talks about how that cash on hands ever since Dr. Robins and Rolney got in there just started crashing over time. But let's get to this. Let's get to the seven-digit man right now. Here he goes.
Making extra time. I don't know if we have overage time because I think this is going to require a lot more than 20 minutes. But let's get started. I would agree with most of what everything Chair Hudson said. This is an issue with cash on hand that going back, and I'll try to replay the history of this as best I can. So we presented to ABOR at the end of June.
Don't underclub, buddy.
We anticipated we would have 156 days cash on hand. It's roughly about $6 million per day to do the calculation. Then in October, we became aware that the methodology that is used to calculate the days cash on hand, which gets very complicated, and there are people on the call that can help me with the explanation of this. But essentially, we realized that that there had been a miscalculation and that we actually did not have what was projected to be $156 million cash on hand, 110 instead. That's a $240 million miscalculation. That is a major problem. With regard to what we did with the money in investing, I would point to that we invested a lot through the strategic plan. It's about a $20 million a year investment that was being made. It was being funded out of Dave's cash on hand while we had money in, I would call it the savings account instead of the checking account. That was being invested into academic programs. I think that the increase in research expenditures that has gone up from about $650 million to what we think is going to be over $9 million in the next year was directly stimulated by this strategic investment. We realized that that was only going to be a five-year plan to do that, so that's ending. So any further expenditures out of our savings account are going to be stopped. So that's one thing that will stop this expenditures. I would also say that Chair Hudson hit on something that I've been saying for a long time, that we invested in bringing a high caliber of student to the university. I think we would all be proud of the class that was admitted this year.
I mean, all those kids taking...
It was the most diverse and the most qualified
classes to catch them up to ninth grade math, Bobby? Is that what you're talking about?
That comes at a cost. In 2018, we were giving $200 million a year in financial aid. We get about $275 million a year from the state. So we were spending most of that money that came to support the university and giving it to students to recruit them and give financial aid. I'm not suggesting we should go back to 2018 level, but currently we're providing $368 million a year in financial aid. So one of the solutions that I think we need to focus on is to make the tough decision to decrease the amount of financial aid that we're giving to students. That'll come at a price. There are some students who won't decide to come here. Thursday night, I would happen to be walking on the mall, and there were two students, and I asked them, the same thing I ask every student, what's your name, what's your major, why did you come?
All right, let's pause. I know this isn't the most exciting talk radio. I agree, but it's important that you hear it from the horse's mouth. It's not like Rockin' Robbins has ignored emails to come on the show, so it's not like I can get him on the show. So this is the closest I'm going to get is him not getting fluffed by some interviewer in TV or radio right now and get it straight from his mouth. So we'll talk about how in that last discussion about financial aid, he's kind of burying himself in a hole. And then this whole, he literally said we made a $240 million miscalculation. How are they both there? How are him and Rolney still there? Oh, I know why. Because Fred Duvall's got a boy crush on Dr. Robbins, probably. He's great. It's your money. It's still a state institution. They don't want to act like it, but they are. Wake up. Very nice song, Mama Cass Elliott, which of course always brings me to Austin Powers' Ham Sandwich. Anyway, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 1030 The Voice, local news and talk. We are boring but educating you with Dr. Robbins at the Faculty Senate. We played the professor before that kind of laid out, talking about ever since him and Lisa Rolney rolled in at 2017, the cash on hand problem has been a growing problem. And, you know, one of our astute business owners just texted me and said, if you had $250 million at a real company miscalculation, you and the CFO and some other people would be dismissed and they would bring in a turnaround CEO to get the place on track. So, all right, my friend, let's continue on with Dr. Robbins here. He's already said we've invested in a high caliber of students to the university, and you know, 2018 they did $200 million in financial aid. Now they're at $368 million in financial aid, and he talked about how it's the most qualified class ever. I would probably have disagreements with that, especially when you look at all the remediation classes and math and some other basics that seem to be growing on campus, not shrinking. So, Matthew,
from
please.
Every out-of-state student. It's because you gave me a better financial package than any other institution. And I think if we look across the board, this is a, it worked to get great students to come here, but it's not financially sustainable. Moreover, the cost in 2018 of educating students was about $15,000 per student. Today, it's about $20,000 a student. So I'm reminded of the car salesman who said, well, we're losing money with every new car we sell. We'll make it up in volume. That is not working. So that's something that I think we've got to really focus on. And this is something we've discussed for a long time. I think it's the time is for action now to address this problem. The issue with athletics is one that's serious. I think I have ideas about how we can address all the other issues. Athletics continues to be a vexing problem. I don't know of any other athletic program in the country that makes money. The game has changed with all the things that are going on in athletics. And we made a decision, and this was a strategic decision during COVID, when the amount of revenue coming in to the athletic department from TV revenues was down. And we made a $55 million internal loan out of days cash on hand to the athletic department with the idea that once the game started back, we would have revenue to pay that loan back. That did not happen fast enough. Moreover, we thought we would get a new contract that was going to exceed the nearly $40 million a year coming from the Pac-12 for athletics.
The Pac-12 so that you let fall
is,
apart.
Roughly $100 million. About $40 million comes from the Pac-12. As you all know, that's dissolving. About $30 million a year comes from ticket sales, primarily in football and basketball. And the other $30 million comes basically from philanthropy and contracts and other things that the athletic department has. So this is an issue that is going to require a lot of tough decisions. There's ideas about, well, we could cut a lot of the sports. Where we currently have 23 sports here. When we go to the Big 12, they have on average about 17 sports.
Sand volleyball, you're screwed.
I think everything is on the table in terms of dealing with athletics. But this is something that is a major part of the problem that we're in. Someone told me today we're throwing athletics under the bus. I think we're just telling you what the situation is, and we've got to come up with something that'll address it. With regards to other units, there are other units who are spending more money than they have revenue to cover. I don't think we've done a good enough job of holding those units accountable. And it's a minority of colleges, departments, and units across the university. So any kind of talk of widespread cutbacks, I think, is not on the table. That's for sure. But I do think that to address this issue of we've got all these students that we're paying to come for free, because I agree with the comments that I hear all the time from faculty. We're working harder. We've got more students. We're having to teach more, and we've got revenue, but we're losing money on those students. I've always known that in-state students, the tuition is about $12,000. I knew that it costs us about $15,000. Now I know it costs us closer to $20,000 per student to educate them. And on average, Arizona students pay about $5,000. So the great narrative was always, well, we'll make it up with out-of-state students. The problem is, and you can calculate it, is mismanagement or bad decisions.
Yes.
Why didn't we get on this earlier?
Yes.
Because I didn't think with having 156 days cash on hand, when we started, when I got here, the numbers are right. We had a lot of cash on hand, and when we made decisions to spend them, to spend some of that money, but not to this level. I was as surprised as all of you to learn that we didn't have 156 days cash on hand. We had 110. And the projection is that we'll have 97 next year. So clearly, this is a major problem. I obviously take it very seriously. And I know you all do as well, because you're working harder. You got cuts, a 2% cut across the board for colleges last year. I will say we did invest in, and we got a lot of pushback for this, but we hadn't had salary increases in a long time, certainly not during COVID. And we funded those salary increases, minimum wage increases, because I thought that was the right thing to do. But I didn't realize that our savings account had dipped to this level. So I believe there's a pathway forward. I will enjoy working with all of you to try to come up with solutions for this. But it is a major problem. And I will hang on to the athletics for a minute. That is going to require some draconian cuts. And we're just going to have to live with that. I would say on a positive note, we had the kickoff of our campaign. We're focused on student scholarships because we have $100 million ask to one donor to fund scholarships. If we can free up that kind of money, then we don't have to keep going down this pathway of investing in students and losing money on each student we invest in. And it's not all of them. Obviously, need-based aid, we're not going to touch that, obviously. But if you look at the band from 3.75 GPA to 4.0, there are a lot of those students here. They pay nothing. We lose money on every one of them. I had not really understood that as well as I should have. 3.5, we give about $12,000 in merit-based aid to those students. In the cohort or the bands of 3.5 to 4.0 even, we retain and graduate at the same level. So I'm not suggesting we cut our top level of financial aid from $32,000 to $12,000, but there has to be something done in that area. That'll increase the amount of revenue because we won't be spending that money. I think I'm going to stop there because I want to have
I'm gonna stop
time
digging.
For as many questions. Maybe even
all right, Matt, we can stop them there. Give us a call if you have a reaction to Dr. Robbins, 790-2040. What's really amazing here, let's see. Let's go to the mailbag real quick. Betts, what about the foundation endowment fund? That's huge. Can't they get access to the money? Oh, wait, it's not for academics. It's for academics, not sports. OMG. Hold on. I'm not going to say that one yet. Bill Beard had a good one too here. He said, the legislators are going to love this line of thinking. First rules of holes, rule of holes, please stop digging. Mike, why is the athletics a scapegoat? How about eliminating some of the more useless degree programs? we'll get to one soon, Mike. So what's really amazing for a guy who makes seven figures, $1 million a year. And I notice, here's the other thing about Dr. Robbins, right? All the business types, the SALCers and all that other stuff, right? And one of our listeners is right. Does that mean we're going to, with all the money we're losing on students, are we going to not have, are we not going to give free scholarships to DACA kids who aren't American citizens? Just asking. Be interesting. But Dr. Robinson, we got a bunch of calls we're going to get to, and we're going to go to break in 2 seconds. So Matt, you can get rolling when you want to get rolling on the break. He's not holding all those SALC types like, oh, Rockin' Robbins is great. He's a real business guy. Is he? He didn't know about cash on hand, right? He says we have units that are losing money that we weren't holding accountable, but now we are. I mean, I can't make it up. Now he reminds me of Kramer. I'm going to start doing that now, Jerry. Oh, the Pac-12 screwed you? And the other thing is, why would you go into the Big 12 if you knew you were short on cash on hand, $55 million cash loan, and now all you're going to have teams that you're going to have to pay to go to Central Florida to play a volleyball game? It makes no sense. You guys, the calls are blown up. We're going to get to your calls when we come back. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. I got an official message from the Public Relations Society of America. The two new contenders for worst PR team effort ever of this year is Rockin' Robbins' entire PR department at the University of Arizona over the $250 million and Katie Hobbs' team in her killing the prison in Marana with no discussion, no pre-thought, no meetings, no warning. So right now, Rockin' Robbins and Katie Hobbs are leaders for the Public Relations Society of America's two worst non-existent PR campaigns for things that probably could need a good effort. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to John on line 4.
So John had to go, I think, because okay. He looks like he dropped off. I will express his thought for him.
Real quick.
Why don't we just make this a project for business and finance majors? Thought it was a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, so think
team
about
project.
So, but again, right? Look at all what the, so Robbins, I mean, he's looking like Chauncey the Gardener here a little bit. Okay. I didn't realize I wasn't holding accountable. I didn't realize I didn't know. What are we doing here? And he doesn't look as cocky as he used to. Mr. University President Thoracic Surgeon. I mean, again, like our business friend said, I can't believe the guy still has his job. Let's go to Tom Carlson on line 5. Tom, what's shaking, my friend?
Hey, morning, Chris.
Hey.
Well, I tell you, this guy is a jack wagon of incredible proportions. You know, you've got 5 people who run the Marana School District, and we do it for free. And if we had any inkling of the way, you know, of operating the way this guy does, all 5 of us should be voted out.
Yeah, I mean, you can't make it up, right? I mean, it was so good to see
unreal.
Him and listening to him talk, right? I mean, the idea mm-hmm. that, and the idea that he walked into that public meeting with no plan. I mean, it's either idiocy or ego, or where the two mix, right, Tom?
Exactly. You know, the first rule of public speaking is to know your audience. Or he must have been sitting amongst a bunch of people who think exactly like he does, because he obviously got no blowback.
Yep, too many lime Rickies with Fred Duvall, as we like to say.
Exactly.
All right, Tom, thanks for the great call. Keep up the good work up there, my friend.
Thank you, Chris. Take care.
790-2040. Let's go to Bill on line 3. Bill, what's shaking, my friend?
Morning. Several thoughts come to mind, but two are the most prominent, listening to our illustrious Dr. Robbins. First is, if I was a member of the Pac-12 and listened to what he just regurgitated, I would be sending a polite but tersely worded thanks but no thanks for joining our league, because if you can't manage your finances, we are not about to strap ourselves into a long-term deal with a bunch of morons that can't add 2 + 2. And the second thought was, if I'm a member of the Board of Regents, or more importantly, the state legislature, listening to what he just said, I would be shocked if the University of Arizona's funding isn't severely limited, especially when it comes to the funding of his salary. Because if he's not going to be fired over what he just said, he should be doing whatever he's doing at least for zero pay for the foreseeable future.
I'm with you, my friend. To add insult to injury, you know what they should do? They should have Michael Crow ask him to help Robbins run the university. So be his helper. So...
There are not enough words to describe how bad that whatever regurgitation he gave was.
Astounding. And
you can't make that up.
I'll put the video, if you want me to send you the video, it's a Zoom video one of the professors put up. I'll send it to you, and then we don't have time, I don't want to bore the crap out of everyone, but listen to him on the answers with the questions from the faculty after that. Don't think it gets better. So, Bill, I got to get two more calls before it's over. Thanks. I agree. Grace wanted to know, last weekend I was at the Tucson Country Club, and there's a new building going up for the women's and men's golf teams. Just want to know who's paying for that. I don't know if the country clubbers are. I'm sure you and I might be paying for it. Let's go to Doug on line 4. Doug, good morning, sir.
Good morning. You already touched on one of the things I was going to mention, which is the worthless degree programs where kids graduate, can't get a job, and then they have to pay back their student loans. So that's not a real good investment, return on investment kind of thing. But the other thing is, it's really amazing to me he'd be looking at cutting the people that are academic superstars.
Right.
I mean, I told our kids, hey, if you're going to go to college, you're going to have to earn a degree by earn the education by getting a scholarship, and they all did except for my son Peter, who went in the Marines and then got his education. My grandkids are all on track to do that as well. And if you're telling kids, hey, you don't have to work hard in school because it won't help you,
right,
that's a disincentive. That's really stupid. So that's my point.
Yeah, it's just crazy, Doug. And now all of a sudden he's saying it's costing $20,000, and he's like, and we're losing on every kid. Have you ever heard that? In all the discussions of university funding we've ever heard, back to when the show first started and Antonori and those guys were fighting with balancing a budget, did anyone ever hear that they were losing money on every student at the U of A?
No, and if you look at the way they always like to try to calculate things, they'll say, oh, look at this investment we made and look at how it paid off over time. If you're taking a kid that becomes a great student and then goes on and gets a great degree and then goes and invents something or builds a business or, contributes to society, that's a real investment. Why would you want to disincentivize kids and tell them don't work hard in school because it's not going to pay off?
Amen, Doug. Thanks for the good call, my friend. Have a good day.
Thanks, guys.
Mike has texted me. He said the U of A golf facility was paid through by donations. So, well, if there's a good place to get donations, I think it's the Tucson Country Club. Just figuring that out. Let's go to Shawnee on line 2. Sean, good morning, sir.
Chris, I ran that red and white company for 15 years in this town.
Yes.
And if I'd have pulled that off, I'd be in jail.
Oh, have that sort of misplace of a large amount of cash.
You know, if you move
miscalculation, excuse me.
If you move the period on your sales tax receipts, you're going to jail.
Right.
There's $100 million, and Rocco or Carlos, maybe somebody that's in business will show you like December 29th, and you've got 153 days of cash flow. You know what you're about to get? Stolen frickin' blind. Nobody has 153 days of cash. Well, there's not a single business in this town that has 153 days of operating cash.
So as a guy who's, and you, as all of us who are helping to pay for this place with our tax dollars, right? If there's some place that, like the university that has our tax dollars, I'm okay with them having a good amount of cash on hand to make sure. Now, anyway, we can have a whole discussion about the size of the university, but in relation to what's going on, I'm okay with prudent cash reserves, right? But in the end, when you walk around, you and there's a quarter of a he admits it right at the beginning. We made a quarter of a billion dollar miscalculation.
Like I said, that would have jail time. I mean, I surely wouldn't be working if I did that in a company. Can you imagine what would happen if you were like running Xerox? Oh, there is no Xerox. This thing is just insane. The last two jobs I worked down at the U of A was the $81 million end zone expansion that you and I can't go. Well, you can go there because you're like a popular guy. I can't go in there. It's for the hot shot.
I get a lot of dirty looks when I go in there, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's for the rich people. And then the next one we did, we went in there, and I mean, I got this like six-figure job in there taking the lights down when they put that indoor training studio in. Indoor yoga studio. It's like, what? Indoor training? This is Arizona, for God's sake.
Well, that's the one thing I do use the yoga studio over there. I do a lot of the really hot yoga. It's the best.
I know. I'm into hot yoga myself. And by the way, honorable mention for a useless thing would be Carrie Lake. Useless, shouldn't have a press studio or whatever she is.
All right, sir. Have a good day.
Have a happy Thursday. It's Thirsty Thursday.
You know what it's not.